A lot of things are taking place, and I personally would love to be able just to take about a month, 3 months, I believe I said the other day, and talk to you about these things. I tried to bring this out a few nights ago, or when we was teaching. I was teaching on something, and I tried to bring out some thoughts that I thought would really be beneficial to you. Folks, let me tell you something. Maybe you will believe me, maybe you won't believe me. Everybody that preaches is not a son of God. Every person that tries to tell you about Jesus, it doesn't mean that they are a Christian. You might would say, Brother Pike, if somebody will take their time and they'll go about to try to tell somebody about the Lord, then they must have God. No, that's not right. See, everyone that preaches, everyone that talks about the Word, that doesn't mean that they have the Lord Jesus. That doesn't have anything to do with it at all. So, you might say, what do you mean by that? I mean that Satan actually quoted the Word of God. A devil, the devil himself, quoted the Word of God. There are devils that can quote this book. And he quoted the Word of God. He gave it to him just like it's written. The Word of God. But it was a devil. A devil spirit within a person can do that. So, it's not because a person can tell you the Word or preach the Word to you that they are Christians or that they are preachers. Because a devil can do that. And the Bible speaks of the doctrines of devils. Devils have doctrines just like sons of God have doctrines. See, a person that tells you about the Word, it doesn't mean that they have anything. It depends on their motive. When Satan or Lucifer quoted the Word to Jesus, his motive was to kill Jesus. His motive was to take the Word of God and deceive Jesus because he knew that Jesus was religious. He knew that Jesus was that Son of God, but he also knew he was a man and that he could die just like anybody else, or he could be killed just like anybody else, which is very obvious from the scriptures in that they did kill the Son of God. So then he intended to kill him. And he knew that if he could kill him before he went to Calvary, then there would be no atonement for sin. There wouldn't be any atonement for sin. So as to a deception, he had hoped to accomplish his purpose. Think about that now. A doctrine of the devil. And he used the Word of God to bring about his doctrine, his deceit. So, you know, the question would arise, Brother Pike, what do you mean? I mean that the Bible says that a man that is evil and wretched, the ministers of the devil, can by the transformation of their mind, and that Paul said, be therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind, can transform themselves from dirty, filthy lips and from dirty, filthy desire of heart into a minister of the words of life. They can transform themselves into ministers of life. That is the word of life. You would say, Brother Pike, they couldn't do that. Because just quoting the word, that wouldn't be life. No, the word itself wouldn't be light. The word is like a wick to the lamp. But the word can be lit. When it is anointed, the anointed word, it is light. And they have the power and ability to transformate into a minister of the Word, and that as the Word of light. So then you would say, how in the world could they ever get the anointing? Well, the Bible said, don't marvel over this, because Satan himself has transformed himself into an angel of light. When you say angel, you mean into a spirit of light. And someone would say, but Brother Pike, the devil is the spirit of darkness, ignorance. I know that. But the Bible speaks of a dark light. And it says, if this light within you be darkness, how great is that darkness? Which means an intellectual thing. Paul turned my people from darkness unto light. You know what intellect is. You know that intellect is a form of knowledge. It's an understanding, which means a light. Lucifer has been into heaven. Therefore, he understands certain things, which is light. But it's a dark light because it is veiled. It is veiled because of the fall. It is veiled with darkness. The light is veiled with darkness, thus making it a dark light. That is, his understanding has become corruptible. And God has driven it out of his presence. And there is no illumination to his thoughts as to light. But on the other hand, we come back to the recognition of this one thing. And that is, as long as the blood is on the seat of atonement, there is grace. And the grace of God brings the light of his presence as to an illumination of the rain upon the unjust. And as long as that blood is there, all blood life has access to the light. And the light is poured out upon them, not as upon devils, but as upon the creation of God, which is the human body. And if a devil can get into a human body, then he is illuminated with the light of grace that is given to that particular human being as long as they live and breathe the breath of life in this world. And that was the same thing with Adam and Eve. They were overshadowed. They were illuminated with the great light of his presence, which made their understanding sharp and clear. I said that to say this. The light of the thoughts is by grace of the anointing, of the outpouring upon the unjust. So they come into the place of illumination. So does the spirit of Satan. He gets into grace through the human body and he becomes illuminated to the extent that he already has the knowledge up there. And when the light is turned on, he can move around and do these heavenly things that confounds you and I and makes him so greater, much greater than we are, by the power of his mind and his ability to be elusive and to overpower and overtake us and to do these weird things and bring lies, signs, and wonders like a magician. They're typical of that. So then, I want to say one more time, I said that to make this point, and that is that everyone that preaches, though they get anointed, though they preach the word, it still does not mean that they are of God. They can get up here and start talking about the word of God, and because there's grace, they can transformate themselves. God, looking through the blood, cannot see their sins because it is the day of grace. And they get inspired and the anointing as to the rain on the unjust. And they get to feeling that thing and shouting, talking, and sometimes speaking in tongues. See, and the inspiration is of God, because he doesn't see their sins. And it's by the love of God that he woos us to repentance. For the Bible said, surely the love of God leads us to repentance. The mercy of God, the love of God. It has to be that way to give me a chance to get out of the darkness from the time I am a sinner. If I am a sinner, then it illuminates my surroundings. It illuminates me. It illuminates my thinking. I see the error of my ways and I go to the altar. But see, that still doesn't mean I'm a Christian. I might even cry. I might even beg. I might even plead. I might even seek repentance with bitter tears, as did Esau. But see, unless it's given to me in the foreknowledge of God, I can't find a place of repentance. When I leave, I still haven't found a place of repentance. That's why the Bible tells us to pray that God will grant repentance unto them that are without. Ye are a royal priesthood. And being a royal priesthood, God has said unto you, pray that God will grant repentance unto them that are without. So, it means that the gifts of eternal life, the gift of eternal life, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, which means you cannot get anything from God by repenting. They have to be given to you through foreknowledge. The Bible said this was given to us in Christ before the world ever was. And then when Calvary come, as the veil was rent, it was released, it was brought to light, that it might be preached down through the church ages, so that they that were ordained unto eternal life by foreknowledge would believe and be saved. And so when Paul preached, he said, and those that were ordained unto eternal life, they believed, and the rest of them didn't believe. So elect according to the foreknowledge is what God foreknew we would do. He ordained us unto eternal life. As to what he foreknew we would think, and the way that he foreknew that we would act in our own sovereignty as to our approach unto his word and repentance, then he granted us life. So you can seek repentance with bitter tears. You can come and pray and do all of these things. And then when you leave, go right back out and be just like the devil himself. This is why that a lot of people, and I hope you don't mind me talking to you like this, but this is why that a lot of people come to church, they cry, they shout, they repent, they stay there a week, they stay there a month, they stay there a year and a half, they stay there 3 years, and the first news you know, they're right back out yonder. Or they stay there 2 days, and they're right back out yonder. And they're back in the same old waller hole that there was to start with. The sow, after that she has come into the washing of the water, she goes right back to her mud hole and the wallowing in the mire, because she is a pig. She is a sow. She is a pig. She has a pig nature. And people in the world are referred to as dogs and pigs. And it doesn't matter how religious they get or how much they come to God. When they are washed and they line up with you and you think they're so beautiful that you could put a ribbon around their neck, as we say, just as soon as they get the chance, they're going to grunt a few times, or grumble a few times, or bark a few times, and they're going to see an old bone and they're going after it, or they're going back to the mud hole to wallow. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. It's a nature with them. But folks, when you get the love of God on the inside of you, the love of the world won't be there. And when you get the love of God, you won't be out yonder 2 days and back here 3 days. And you won't be in and out all the time. You just won't be like that. It just won't work like that. All right, so I said that to get on over to try to say this. The minister gets up, he gets anointed. He preaches the word. And people come to the altar and stand around the altar, and he prays for them and lays hands on them, and a big show goes on. And believe it or not, somebody gets healed and somebody gets a miracle. And it's real genuine. But the way they get it is because of the blood that's on the seat of atonement. The grace of God is still there. The blood life is still in the presence of God, just like it was when Satan came into the presence of God in the days of Job. And that human being, God cannot see his sins at that time while the blood is on the seat of atonement. So he's just as eligible for healing as you are, because that is the grace of God that leads us to repentance. And a lot of times they'll get healed before a Christian will. Because a Christian, maybe a son, is going through some chastisement and has to tolerate something or put up with it, while this other one doesn't have to do that because it's the land of Esau and he's getting all of his benefits now. As it was with David, he put away his concubines with guilt. But he did not do that to the wife. The kingdom was hers. So then, this is what I'm talking about. Balaam, I say to you again, had a gift. But like the witches, he and the fortune tellers of today, he used it for selfish gain. Oh, somebody said, Brother Pike, now, you know, I wouldn't do that. I've heard him talk like that. I wouldn't do that for nothing. But yet you are a Christian, as you say. You've come into the knowledge of God. You've received the blessing of God. You've been made partakers of the Holy Ghost and the power of the Word and the world to come as to the outpouring of the grace. And you go out and you take your mind that's supposed to be given to God to win souls, and instead of applying yourself to labor that you might have to give, you take your mind and you go make money and you cunningly, wisely get your group of people and you oversight them and you manipulate and do what you want to and you make money and you use it for your own gain and you look to your own quarter for your own gain and you use that mind of superiority, that enlightening, for your own selfish reasons. If you don't do it out there on the job to make money or whatever, then you get into perversion by lording over some individual as to gossip and fill their ear with garbage. Because you're cunning and crafty, you take advantage of somebody to get money out of them, or to kind of maneuver them around to your own benefit as to rule over them, still the same old devil. Taking their sovereignty, taking away their rights by a Nicolaitan rule. See, lording over them or being strong-spirited and have them little babies in fright or fear. How do you understand what I'm saying? So that preacher, he gets up there, he has a great revival. He takes all your money, and sure enough, a miracle takes place and whatever. Because they came to believe, the people came to believe, and some of them are ignorant. They don't know anything about God. And you said something about the name of the Lord and whatever, and somebody said, well, he worked a miracle in Jesus' name. No, he didn't work a miracle in the name of the Lord. The Bible said, no man that can work a miracle in my name can speak evil of me. You can't speak evil of the Lord and then have the power to work a miracle. Not in his name. But you can work miracles, even lying miracles, lying signs, and lying wonders. The Bible said that there was, out of the mouth of the dragon, the false prophet, out of these and out of the beast, there came forth three unclean spirits like frogs, which means angels, fallen angels, or demon spirits, angelic beings that have been rejected as to light and become warped up in the darkness as the rulers of the darkness. Just as you would keep a person in darkness all their life till they become like a beast. They'd become freakish. Seeing these are demons, and yet they work miracles. A spirit can work miracles. They can do things that's miraculous to the hearing of the natural ear and the seeing of the natural eye. So they can work miracles. See, so miracles can take place, and they can do all kinds of things. Someone would say, well, the one thing they can't do, Brother Pike, and that is they can't heal. But the Bible says that the wound, the deadly wound that came to the head of the beast was healed. Someone said, you mean to tell me the devil healed that? No. The healing came through grace. I'm telling you how it comes. It comes through grace. Healing is of God, but it comes through grace. See, like a witch, they take advantage of the knowledge of God. And taking advantage of the knowledge of God, they get the benefits of God. How is it that a person can be partakers of the Holy Ghost? And the Bible said, taste of the word of God and the power of the world to come, and then go to hell. Be a devil, as you say. It's like I say, devils can get into human bodies, and the human bodies are eligible for grace. And they can taste of these things through the day of grace. And they can act very religious and still not go on with God and still not live right and still be filled with the devil, because the rain is not in them, it's on the outside. Well, the old saying, water, water everywhere and not a drop to drink. So I'm trying to explain these things that you might be able to judge right. The Bible said the child is known by his doings. You've got to watch him and see if he produces the fruits of the Spirit. You say, well, who gets the Holy Ghost, Brother Pike? How do you know who's got it? The Bible said to them that obey him, he gives them the Holy Ghost. So then when you see a person that day by day obeys God, the Word, God being the Word, honoring the Word, then you know he's got the Holy Ghost, because the nature of Lucifer cannot do that. Now, he can get into grace, he can dance, he can shout, he can get under the anointing, do all these things, but to walk a straight line day by day, the serpent can't do that. He's going to leave a crooked trail. And his old tongue is going to be going all the time. Preachers get up to preach, and sometimes miracles take place. And the miracle is of God, and the healing, whatever it is, it's of God. And this person believed, the Bible said, if you believe there's one God, you do well. The devil believes he has the power of rulership in the days of grace because he believes. He believes, and because of grace, he's able to control and go on and do what he wants to do. But the Bible said, ye shall know them by their works. Men don't gather grapes of brambles, figs of thistles or thorns. So then you see all these things and you say, my, oh my, that man was so anointed. Look how he danced. Look what he done. Look at all of these things. And he says, it's all right for me to wear a little lipstick and bob my hair and do what I want to. It's like I heard, Brother Ed was telling this yesterday. I went out into Oklahoma. And there's a man by the name of Brother Will Height out in Oklahoma. His son came here. They've gotten into some revelation. I went out there and I saw things wasn't right. And I talked to him some, and I saw that this Mr. Will Height was a fine man, a minister. I thought, now this man is a great man. This man has gotten a hold of something. But he has gotten mixed up in his doctrine. And I say that openly, as to call his name, because that's what it is. Some say, oh, you shouldn't do that. Oh, yes, you should do that. That's like Brother Glenn that come up from Brother Red's, a fine man. I talk with him, but he's mixed up in his doctrine. I told my wife before I ever talked to him. I said, I'm going to meet this man again. And I said, when I meet him, I'm going to find out he's mixed up in his doctrine. When I found him, he was mixed up in his doctrine. And I told him he was mixed up in his doctrine. But I showed him that he was mixed up in his doctrine. And here's the thing. I found out that he was a branch from Brother Wilhite. They're mixed up the same way. They had a split. Well, anyway, this man, Brother Wilhite, I thought, now this is a fine man. And somehow or another, he's got tripped up. Satan's taken advantage of him. And he's got tripped up here some way or another. And Brother Red was telling me that something happened, may not have this right in detail, but said that the son or some of them took his people and started another work and left him a few little children. And he got to working with those few little children after all those years. And Brother Red said, Brother Pike, said he told me, he said, Brother Red, working with these little children, said I found myself. And said I had got off trail. Got mixed up. Brother Bradley, you should know what I'm talking about here. And said, in talking to these little children, I come to realize the error that I was in making allowance for women to wear their rouge and lipstick and all this kind of stuff, he said, as to a moderation. Or this was in general what Brother Ed was telling me. Said, I come to realize, he said, because I was brought up in holiness in Pentecost and got away from it, got tripped up. Think about that, folks. And they got to the place to where they didn't believe there was no literal coming of the Lord. See, I talk to you as one that loves you because I'm your shepherd. And I don't want you to fall into these things. And I know that they that are not ordained unto eternal life, they're not going to believe. They don't even give the more earnest heed to the things the preacher's saying. Not realizing that it's not the preacher but God speaking to them for their safety. See, and they don't take heed how that they hear. They just half-heartedly listen. I asked the brother the other night. I said, you believe that? Or whatever? Don't remember the exact approach. I said, but listen. I said, did you know that if something is put into the ground and it doesn't come up the same way? I said, that's not an originality. If Jesus is put in the ground, if he doesn't come back up Jesus, there ain't been no resurrection. If they put Brother Taylor in the ground and when he comes back up, you know, it's somebody else, there ain't been no resurrection. Not of Brother Taylor. Because a true resurrection is If you go down, Brother Taylor, you come up, Brother Taylor. Jesus went down Jesus, he come up Jesus. And he was the first fruit of them that slept. Which proved that the wrath of God was gone. He had been delivered for my offenses. As to the wrong that I had done, as being made my body of sin, that I might be made his body of righteousness, he in death and I in life. And according to the Bible, in doing that, in making himself sin, he made me righteous, and he brought me up as a resurrection from the dead. Now that is a true resurrection. I died, Brother Pike, and I was resurrected, Brother Pike. That's the true resurrection. Jesus died as Jesus. He was resurrected as Jesus. Someone would say, oh no, Brother Pike, you know, when you come forth with a celestial body. I know you do. As celestial Brother Pike. As celestial Jesus. As celestial Moses. As celestial Elijah. It is still the same one. And I said, you say that Paul or Peter or John or these that I made mention of to him. I said, you say they're coming back. And then he got kind of tangled up and he thought, you know, no, he said, I didn't really say there was coming back. And then he got all tangled up again because he realized how foolish that would sound. And so he just got all balled up. He really didn't know what to say. And I explained to him how foolish it is for somebody to say that Peter is coming back, he died. Paul is coming back, he died. And yet Jesus went away in a natural body and he isn't coming back. That there's going to be no more Jesus so far as the natural body. See, that's foolishness. You could believe that he'll come back with the nails in his hands and he'll come back with the thorn-pierced brow. And I begin to bring out scripture, a number of scriptures, as in Revelation 6 and the sixth seal. As to the coming of the Lord, as in Revelation 14, as the Lord on the cloud, as when he appears with the nails in his hands and a nation is born in one day. And on we went. And when we got into Revelation, he was so carried away until he said, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. And he didn't say nothing else about the false doctrine. And it is false doctrine. When somebody tells you that the Lord Jesus isn't coming back, you say, look, my Bible says that as you have seen him go, so shall he return and come again. So, I said that to bring about the thought that though men may have doctrines, it can be doctrines of devils. It can be a devil's thing that he's conjured up and twisted around and maneuvered around, manipulated with, until he's got it to where it fits his purpose and his motive, and he's building himself a little kingdom and doing whatever he wants to in this world. Let me tell you something else, folks, because a lot of these things are coming about. You travel across the world and you find a lot of little villages springing up, or what they call communities, or they call them communes or whatever. Now here, I tell people that we are not a commune. Here, you remember that. Somebody say, oh, you're a commune. No, we're not a commune. We are a community, which means we do have fellowship. We do communicate with one another. We have fellowship with one another. We have a good time in the Lord. But here, every man retains his own sovereignty as to his own desire. He does his own thing. He goes his own way. He makes his own money. He works on his own job. He gets his own paycheck. He gives what he wants to. And a lot of them give very little. But he gives what he wants to, because we are not a commune. I don't mess with anybody's money at any time for any reason. We have a men's meeting. There's somebody that pleads the cause, and usually Brother Jim Kirk, for which I'm very grateful. He does the same thing here. I don't mess with people's money, not even a personal offer. I don't take it from them. Now, we are not a commune. We are a community. We love one another. We are a brotherhood. I do not believe in a commune. I do not believe that a commune is of God. I'm as honest as I can be with you. I definitely do not believe it is of God. Now, I've had people to come to me and they'd say, Brother Pike, The Bible says that we are to have all things common, which means we're to throw everything in the pot together. That's true. That's yea and nay, as we say sometimes. That is true. But a lot of times you can misinterpret what God is saying. And I've told you this a number of times, and I bring it back to your remembrance. Peter said, though I know that you know it, I still feel as long as I'm in this tabernacle that I'm to stir up your pure mind, which is the mind of Christ, toward these things by way of remembrance. When it says ye shall have all things common, or in the early church that they had all things common, it does not mean in a communistic way. As to that common way of life that was taught by Marx, communism, it does not mean that. That's not it at all. And that's what a commune leads to. A commune leads to lordship. And a commune leads to Nicolaitan doctrine. And a commune leads to enslaving people and making slaves out of people and becoming lord over God's heritage, which he did not make you a lord over. And it puts you in a position to judge another man's servant, whereas the Bible said you're not to do that to God. He stands or he falls. There's no fool in the world that's a bigger fool than somebody that comes into the church and judges the preacher. When if anybody is another man's servant, the preacher is. That's the biggest fool there is. So I said that to say this. You need to find out what kind of preacher that is to start with. You need to know something about him before you ever go there. And if he isn't right, you don't need to be there to even show your presence to sit in the temple of the idols, the Bible teaches. Lest somebody else see and be emboldened to do the same wrong you've done. So, I don't believe in those things. What is all things common? I've said this to you many times. All things common means that they chose a common way of life. And the Bible said, and the common people heard him or heard Jesus gladly. He resorted to the common people. They condescended to men of low estate. They didn't run after the people that are in the wealth and riches of the world. They went among common people. When I came here, that's what caused me my problem here. See, when the bankers, when the dentists, when the doctors, when the school leaders and all of them wanted to take hold of me, and they just thought this was the grandest thing that had come here into Monroe, and they just wanted me even close the doors when I'd go to the bank, counsel with me, pray with me. And when I didn't cater to their foolishness and told them the word of holiness and told them what they were going to have to do, they didn't want any of that. Not any of that. Now, Brother Pike, if we can be charismatic and we can go on with our frolics and have the love of the world within us and our frolics along the beaches and ball games and non-virtuous TV shows and all these other things, you know, our gullible desire of life, then we'll be part of you. And I said, you can't be part of us. We're holy people. We're godly people. We have to come out from among the world, and you're going to stay out there with the world. So we're going to be a separate people. And that's when they got upset. If they couldn't possess it, the devil couldn't possess it and corrupt it, he said, I don't want no part of it. Now, it isn't anything wrong with the doctor, the dentist. There's nothing wrong with those people. If they will surrender their heart to God, if they'll be holy people, godly people, God will receive them just like he receives anybody else. The gospel is to every creature. But they can't get the idea that they're some professional person, and because of their great title, when they don't mean dirt to God, their great title that they can do evil and do what they want to and get by with it, and God is going to blame them or bother them that God understands. He doesn't understand at all. If he's the great God of heaven that rules heaven and earth, that has made everything, including the breath of life that goes in and out our nostrils, and made our eyes and our bodies and our bones, made us as human beings and made everything else and made them professional people, put them together bone to bone. And if he come down here and was baptized in Jesus' name in a muddy river, and if he come down here and subjected himself to sin and sorrow to suffer for the cause of Christ, And if he come down here in a human body and lived a godly, spotless life to where they had to say that I find no fault in this just man, who are they as a bunch of dirty rags to stand in his presence and to think that he's going to make allowance for them? So then, if they want to be godly, they can be a godly doctor, a godly dentist. They can be holy, they can be righteous, they can be pure. Like a dentist, I went one time to get some work done on my tooth many years ago. And the dentist said, the first thing I do, Brother Pike, is I pray with my patients. So we're going to pray. So he prayed and he done his work. See, that's the way it's supposed to be. And the doctor that's going to do anything, the first thing he ought to do is say, let's acknowledge the greater power now, because without God there's no healing, there's no nothing. We must of necessity, as it would be, have God's presence and help if we're going to have any success. Like Washington, when Washington got down and prayed as our great leader, I had some of his prayers, and in his prayers said, we need holiness. He says, this country needs holiness. Like Billy Graham said when I read in some of his writings, he said, holiness is what's needed. God is the spirit of holiness. The Bible said that you should serve God in holiness and righteousness all the days of your life. To be holy, for I'm holy. So I'm just saying these few things to you tonight to keep you from getting mixed up. Because there's so many things I'd like to say or preach to you about. So when we take a look at this, we realize there is no exceptions. All things common, condescending to men of low estate, because not many mighty are called. Great men of education and understanding, they could be called. Paul was a great man, and he was called, and he surrendered. God put him through the fire to bring him out. But Paul said, there are not very many of us that's called. So there ain't very many of them that will give up their way of life and their thing, their prestige, to condescend the men of low estate. And so then, we are common people. We have all things common. And for this, I'm very glad. Whereas somebody say, bless God, Brother Pike, you've got a Lincoln. And you say, we have all things common. It is a true fact that God makes you to ride upon the high places of the earth. You seek the common things, and he'll give you all kinds of things. But we haven't sought anything like that. And besides that, we really don't have that golden Lincoln that you could have accused me for anyway. It was given back to the man that gave it. Say, well, there's another one sitting down there, Brother Pike. I know there's been a number of them sitting down there. That other one's sitting down there. We're looking for a way right now. You're the one that's been using that one to tell the truth about it. I'm the one that has to patch it up when you get through banging it up and tearing it up. Done it a number of times. And it's an old Lincoln anyway. Besides that, some of you have got Lincolns. They're pretty common now, and they get a few days on them, you know. You can get them cheaper than you can some of the other cars. But without excuse, what is meant is all things common. They had all things common. You say, well, I don't think you eat like I do, Brother Pike. I think you eat a little better. Well, that could be. Sometimes like today, I had pork chops. And Brother Larry, he brought me some deer. And that could be. But then on the other hand, there's some days when Brother Pike didn't have nothing to eat when you was eating pork chop. Not a thing. And somebody kind enough at the right time brought something, and we had a good time. Because we learned out on the field to be contented in whatsoever state we find ourselves. Not to call the neighbors and start saying, oh, we're starving to death. Somebody, you better do something. The rent ain't paid. You just got it. We learned better than that. We learned better than to be a parasite. We learned better than just to leech off of people and be lazy and not work. We learned to mind our own business. We learned to have a mind to work. We learned to go about and try to help others. And instead of seeking the aid of others to our personal benefit, we try to seek God so that we can aid others in their need, whether it's widows, orphans, people here, or whatever. And we have some people here at Bethlehem And in the Christian world that does that, they labor that they might have to give to others, and they work with Brother Pike in the cause of God that they might give to others, while others mumble and grumble as it was in the days of Moses, and they're swallowed up by that old thing of mumbling. So, to have all things common, Betty and I, we try just to be a common, down-to-earth person. I don't have to try very hard myself because I don't like the other way of life anyway. I don't like to have to go around like I'm so stiff I'm about to break in two, and I'm so polished that if a car goes by and there's a mud puddle, you know that I can't stand the thoughts of a drop getting on me if you happen to splatter a little mud. And besides that, people out there in that world are dirty and filthy, lapping vomit and wallowing in the mire anyway. It doesn't matter how much they wash and polish themselves, they're dirty and filthy. On the inside, they're rotten like a worm in the heart of an apple. It wouldn't matter. You know, it's like a person who's got cancer, and a lot of times the person can't help that. But a person who's got cancer, when that cancer gets so far along, I don't care how they look outside, you can't stand that room. The stench is so bad. And them people out there, I can't stand to be around them. You know, if a person takes the right attitude, whatever, it's like a physician going among them. He'll put something over his nose and he'll fix himself that when he goes out there to save that life, he don't get contaminated with what they're doing. See, you can eat among the sinners and the publicans, but you better have some kind of protection. You better have something. You better be veiled in the body of the Lord Jesus and have it between you and them. Are you going to wind up being contaminated? Some people are just carriers of diseases, and they don't take the disease. So then, when a preacher preaches, that doesn't mean he's right. To have places of commune isn't right. It's not right. It's wrong. It's of the devil. And the thing is, for you to have all things common, for you to have all things common is right, folks. And as I said, Betty and I, we try to be common folks. We just try to be common people. I have to admit that I like convenience as good as anybody in the world. And my brethren have been kind enough that when one air conditioner went out, they got me another one of some kind. Mine went out one time, and Brother Jerry Lambert and his son Terry come over and brought me an air conditioner. And we went on with that. And, of course, it wasn't adequate for the purpose, and somebody brought me another little one and put back in one of our rooms back there where we sleep. We had been making out with a fan. And then Brother Jimmy, he waxed bold and went and got me a new one and set it in the new part for the office where Betty and them's going to be working. And I thank God for it. And my house is a pretty nice old house. They patched it up, got some holes in the wall. Few places here and there that need something done to it, but it's a pretty good old house, and we've made out pretty good. But we've tried to be common. I admit that going out on the road, I like to have a good car because we travel so long in an old battle axe, beat up, broke down, Maypop, sort of a vehicle, and I thank God for it. I fixed flat tires on the way. I've had to jack up the back end without a jack when I'd find a pole and something to lay it on it and prize it up while Sister Betty or some of them took it off every how we had to do it. When I set up the little old army tent, I had to get Sister Betty on one end of the piano and me on the other end of the big old upright piano, and we managed to get it in there. See, but until I got some kids up big enough to help me, and Rick, he kind of come along and helped me. See, we had all things common. And we're contented in whatever state we find ourselves. Sometimes we went all day long, numbers of times. Didn't have anything to eat. Sometimes Sister Betty, as I've said, was in the car maybe 5 days at a time with her little ones. She eat in there, she sleep in there, and she lived in there, and that was it. It's just small quarters. But we still live there. I've laid down on the pavement. I've laid down in the restrooms. I've laid down on the tables. I've laid down anywhere they let me lay down. I've had them to pick me up and say, hey, you have to go over to the jailhouse. I said, that's fine. But now I don't want you to lock the cell if you're going to put me in there. And I said, if you're going to take me over there, let me just sleep somewhere outside the cell. Whatever. And they took me over and worked with me. But I hoboed and I've slept on a freight train and I've hitchhiked and I've had people to pick me up and say, you got any money? I'd say, no. They say, I wish I'd never picked you up. I need some gas. That's why I picked you up. So, you know, I've been through some experiences and I know exactly what life is and what the common side of life is. But on the other hand, I've abound. Paul said, I know how to abound and I know how to be abased. See, so I've done that too. I've had people threaten to shoot me with a shotgun and come after me with their knives. I've had that to happen. And I've had them to tell me all kind of things and jump up in my congregation and start blatant out right there in the midst of the people and all kind of things, you know. And I have to admit, sometimes Sister Betty buys me a plane ticket and we ride in style. We don't, as a rule, we don't get to ride first class. And on one rare occasion, they didn't have the plane crowded. They let us ride business class one time. And I remember one time, Brother David Allen, he paid for me and him to ride first class down to Mexico and second class coming back. So I get to ride, you know, in style sometimes. But that doesn't mean you're not common. It doesn't mean that you don't have all things common. It's pretty common for a common man to get on a superliner and take himself a trip. It's pretty common for a common man to become a doctor, to become a dentist. There's a lot of good men, spiritual men, men that have come up in school, that studied, some of them in the Oral Roberts kind of institutions and whatever, and they're fine folks. See, that love the Lord. It's common for sometimes that God should pick up a person, a woman, and make an Esther out of her, and she gets married to the king or to the president. That's common. So it's common for God to do that, sometimes to take Daniel and put a gold chain around his neck, make him the third ruler of the kingdom, or to put him over the wise men, or to take the Hebrew children and bring them into governorship. That's common for God to do that, you know. But if he does that, he does it with a person of a common heart that still loves the common people. And it was for the purpose as to Esther, as to Mordecai, as to saving the royal seed of the Jews so that Jesus could be born. So then all things common. We just want to be down to earth common folks. If a doctor wants to be common, that's fine. If a president wants to be common, that's fine. If a millionaire wants to be common, it's fine. Now, if a billionaire wants to be common, it's fine. It might be that they don't have common things. They might have the wealth like Esther did. But if they are common in their heart, it's the act of God. And if they are there, it is for the purpose of God. And it might be that that billion was for you or to take care of you in the time of famine. But not many billionaires, not many mighty are called. How horribly shall they that have riches inherit the kingdom because they can't turn their riches loose. Somebody said, well, I know, Brother Pike, that a rich man can't go to heaven. Easier for the camel to go through the eye of the needle than for the rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And they've even got so beside themselves that one fella, he wrote a version of that in the Bible that says, well, what it meant was a rope. The original rendering was a rope, and said you can put a rope through the eye of the needle. You just have to keep breaking it down until you get to a thread. That's about as much ignorance as a man would want right there. See, in the first place, somebody said, well, what it is, Brother Pike, over in Israel, over in the Holy Land, there's a place that's called the Needle's Eye. And you have to go through the Needle's Eye. And said, now that's what it is. So the camels have to pass through there. Folks, I know there is such a place. And I know it does have reference as to this much. That when the camel is laden, he cannot go through there. He has to take all of that off so that he can go through without. Jesus said you came into this world without anything. It's for sure you're not going to take anything out of the world with you when you leave. Now I know that that is true. But when the Lord spoke of the camel, he said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich man to inherit the kingdom of heaven. That is the needle's eye. He's got to get rid of his riches. If he's going to pass through, it's going to be a tight squeeze. But when he said that, he went on to say that with men, this is impossible. They said, who then can be saved? He said, with men, this is impossible. Now, it's not impossible to stick a rope as you break it down through a needle's eye. It's not impossible for that camel to go through the needle's eye over in Israel. He said, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And he made it possible when the little man, the little stature, was told by Jesus that this day the kingdom of God has come unto you. When he said, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man falsely, I'll restore it fourfold. He said, this day salvation's come to your house. On the other hand, he said to the rich young ruler, the rich young ruler said, I'm very religious. I've kept all of your commandments all of my life. He said, yet thou lackest one thing. Sell all you've got, give to the poor. Take up your cross and follow me. Because he knew the man was lying. He had broke the commandments because the commandments said, love thy neighbor as thyself. If he'd have loved the neighbor as himself, he would have shared with them. And the mere fact that Jesus said that, lackest thou one thing, indicated that he didn't keep everything. Because if he'd kept all the commandments, then righteousness is by the commandments. He would have fulfilled the righteousness of the law. And Paul said, you Jews have it and none of you keep it. So the rich young ruler couldn't have kept it. Neither did Paul keep it. Even though he said, I'm blameless as touching the law. He was blameless as touching the law as to the extent that Christ could be revealed in him, but only blameless as to his concept and the people's concept, as to measuring himself by the people. But only one man was ever blameless when it come to fulfilling every jot and tittle of the law, and that was the Lord Jesus. So the rich man went away, and the Bible said, having many riches, he turned away sorrowful because he didn't want to depart with them. I said all this is getting back to our subject is all things common, folks. See, all things common is not to surrender your sovereignty to somebody else to lord over you. That's not the way it is. It is when you keep your sovereignty and willingly, according to your own desire, share what you want to share. And I can say this for sure. There's some that live on the campground that won't hardly share nothing. They won't hardly come to church. They won't hardly come to men's meeting. They won't hardly be part of the people, let alone have all things common. I appreciate you that do come, that do work with us. I appreciate you for this. Because that is the right way. You'll be blessed. You'll be mighty. You'll be great in leadership, even as Daniel with the gold chain about his neck. You'll become the ruler. You'll become the leader. And I mean you will become that way to the extent that you will rule and reign throughout eternity. It will never be taken away from you. You'll just be greater and greater and greater and transformate right on over into that which is the greater. Well, anyway, I felt like saying these things to you. Having all things common. All things common. That's the way that you want to live. So stop trying to see if you can outsport, outlive, outbuy, outdress, outshow, outtalk, outknow the people. And just be as one of the brethren, just as Jesus was. And be common with the brethren. And if you've got any well in your water, they'll get a drink. And everything will work together for you to the good, to them that love the Lord. And you'll feel the infirmities of them that are in the foreign fields, and you'll want to share with them. And you'll feel the infirmities of them that are home, and you'll want to share with them. And let us follow the Lord and have this kind of a community and this kind of a church and share with one another and love one another. And let's not prophesy out of presumption and get some idea with some prophet or some great person and do something crazy and foolish. Follow God, and if something comes into your heart and mind, the Bible said, let one hold his peace and the other speak, and all of us can edify the body, and all of us can be used of God. All of us can have the gifts in our life. And let me tell you this in closing, folks. There's an old saying, all that glitters ain't gold. I told you how me and my boyfriend in California, just young fellas, we saw the glitter on the mountain coming through Arizona or somewhere, and they just had little pig trails that looked like then, or real small roads broken up. And we grabbed us a whole handful, as much as we could get, and we went to the nearby place, and we thought we had struck it rich on somebody else's mountain. And we decided in our heart we wasn't going to let nobody know about that mountain but us. And when we got over there, the man said, you're right, you're right. I thought, there we are, we got that gold, we got that gold. He said, you're right, said, you got gold. And then that's when he told me, he said, it's gold, but it's fool's gold. And I saw what a fool we had been and made of ourselves. So a lot of people, they got something, but it's fool's gold. And listen, folks, I don't want to hold you too long, but I just want to take a few more minutes so this will be clear in your mind. Things are springing up everywhere. Things are happening. It's so close it would deceive the very elect if it was possible. People being believers, getting anointed, doing all these great things because they are believers, just like the devil, but they don't have the infilling of the Holy Ghost. You watch what I'm telling you now. I have had people, great leaders, has come to this place. They preach. They've done all these things. I've made allowance to the extent the Lord made allowance for Judas in the midst of them. Paul said, false brethren are among us. The rain right now is on the just and the unjust. You can't pluck up the tare unless you get the wheat. And a lot of times they slip in and we have to wait for opportunity. I've had them to come through here. And I mean they preached. And I mean they showed themselves in many ways as to be a Christian. As far as dancing, doing whatever. But I watched them real close. And their desire is one thing. And that is the love of the world. It's money. They want money. More money. And more things to get more money. And their whole goal is to have money, money, money. Buy, get gain, worldly goods, and more money. And they'll do anything in the world to get that money, even if they have to enslave you to get it. And they want that money. They don't have any plans to do anything for God overseas or on this side of the seas or whatever. Most of the time they have no missionary endeavors, not anything. And they go for many years coming through here, getting offerings, taking advantages. And they take and they take and they take 10, 12 years. And they talk about the love for you and folks, we love you and we love Brother Pike, and I just let them go on. I don't say nothing, I just ease along. But it's like I asked somebody the other day concerning some of them. They seemed to think that the people was right. I said, let me ask you something. If all this love is toward Brother Pike and all this is like this, I said, how many years have you known of these things? How many years have these people been doing these things? Oh, it's 10 or 12 years, whatever. I said, how many offerings have they ever given Bethlehem? How many things have they ever sent to Bethlehem? How much have they ever done for Bethlehem? I said, can you name one time? And they couldn't. Now, how is it there's so much love for my wife and I've never done anything for her in 12 long years? Folks, let's don't be a fool. Let's don't be swallowed up by some gullible desire as to a money-making scheme of people as to say that they want the favor of Bethlehem. As it is said of the Jew, in that day they'll say, come and go with us. We've heard that God is with you. What it is, they get into trouble and they see the wrath of God and then they say, hey, come and go with me. Look, I want to be part of you. That's what they do. See, because they get afraid and they know that that hammer of God is coming down. It's coming down. It's going to grind them to powder. Because they've had their frolics and done their things and they went their way And these people have traveled all over the world to make proselytes. And they boast in themselves, and they boast about their abilities, and they boast of everything but God, and glorify everything but God. It's like my sister-in-law, her husband came down yesterday, I believe it was, down to the printing room. He's been everything. He's been a judge. Judge for 20 years, probate judge. He's been an outstanding coach for the boys in high school and whatever, for swimming, all these things. He has been over maybe 2,200 to 2,300 employees at one time, having the supreme supervision. But as I talked about God, tears run down his cheeks. And he said, all I've ever done is glorify myself. And said, I'm seeking now to try to glorify him. And he's done, got up near the turning point to where he could go out any time. Well, anyway, people can be right kind of people. Down in New Iberia, the sheriff knelt before me. He come and fell at my feet. His office was as elaborate as a president's office. I never seen nothing like that. Huge and beautiful. All kind of awards. I mean all kind of plaques and medals and honors. But when I went there, he made me sit down in his seat. He got up behind me to take the picture. And he fell down at my feet and asked for my blessings. And people that do that are honored. Receiving the word of God or the man of God. And Brother Conrad called me sometimes over in the morning. I guess it must have been 1, 2 o'clock. Said, Brother Pike, I want to send you a paper. Said, did you know that the sheriff made headlines? I said, is that right? He said, yes. Said, they caught him praying with his people. And said they made headlines. So, see, things like that happen. Well, I guess about said enough. How do you understand what I'm saying, folks? I got one man, he lifted his hand. Maybe there's more than one, Brother Atley. Brother Don. We got several folks here. All right. Some of them over here. All right, that's good. Got some of them believes in this thing. All right, folks, you that believe in it, that makes you responsible. You're going to have to take care of the rest of them. Help the rest of them. Now, if these things don't make sense to you, if you can't get a hold of them, then you know that's between you and the Lord. But to you that understand what I'm saying, you need to do right. You can get yourself in a prison before you know what's happening. You can get yourself in a mess. And this is what happens when you come by here and you don't accept the truth. Or you go by some place where God has the truth and you don't accept it. After a while you go to the concentration camp. Or you go to the prisons. Or you go to the different places. And then you're not turned loose till you pay the uttermost farthing. And then when you get out, you won't have all that zip and zeal to eat the house of God up and that rebellion, haughtiness, and that thing of thinking that you're going to get in the pulpit and sing yourself into every precious place. Or that you're going to take over and take the labor of many other people and run it like you want to do. You'll be over all that and you'll be ready to fit in and get in shape. Put you in boot camp when you're in the army. When you get through, you're in shape. I used to. I don't know what to do now. You could just about go in now and have pigtails. But used to, they had men for soldiers. Now they just got anything. Used to, when I was in service, you learned to say yes, sir, and no, sir. And when they said stand up, you stood up. And when they said snap to attention, you snapped to attention. When they said look straight ahead and don't bat your eyes, you didn't bat your eyes. You done all you could to keep from batting your eyes, you know. And sometimes they'd come by and flip you on the ear just to see if he's going to make any motion. And I've seen you just flip you on the ear, and if you just moved a little, it said, attention, soldier. And you just feel like you could knock him flat on his back, but you just stand there. And when you got out of boot camp, you was in shape. When they said, let's go, you could go. And if they said, shoot, you could shoot. They had everything, you know, in line. Well, let's stand together. I love you and I appreciate you. I thank God for you. And I appreciate my people. I really do. I want to read just this little bit of scripture and we'll let you go. Chapter 1, Lamentation. How do the city sit solitary that was full of people? How is she become a widow as a widow? She that was great among the nations and princes among the provinces. How is she become tributary? She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she hath none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies. Judah is gone into captivity because of affliction and because of great servitude. She dwelleth among the heathen. She findeth no rest. All her persecutors overtook her between the straits. The way of Zion do moan, because none come to the solemn feast. All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh. Her virgins are afflicted, and she is in bitterness. But I want to ask you something, folks. Are you happy at Bethlehem? You know, it's like Brother Red said, all that want to go can go. I say the same thing. See, all that want to go can go. You're not under any bondage. You're not under any constraint. If you want to go, you can go. Someone would say, well, I believe that, Brother Pikey. You know, if I wanted to go, I could go. Well, that's fine, because as far as I'm concerned, you can. But I can't. I can't. The love of God constrains me. And I can't. Like the man that stood before the fire, and they said, why not deny him? He says, he's never done me no harm. The love of God constrains me. I can't. Paul said, the love of God constrains me. I'm a prisoner of the Lord. I can't go. Someone said, you mean you can't leave here? If I went over the hill, I'd be in the same condition I'm in here. If I went to Germany, I'd be in the same condition I'm in here. If I went to the other side of the world, I'd be in the same condition. Day and night, it's in me. And day and night is part of me. I can never leave it. See, because how can you leave what you are? How can I leave myself? This is what I am. So if you can leave, then it means you wasn't part of it to start with. You just wasn't part of it to start with. If your desire leads you off, the Bible said if you'd have been of us, you no doubt would have continued with us. But you went out from us that it might be made manifest that you were not of us. What is Steve and Collins doing? We up here, they left their mother, they left their home, they left their loved ones and them wrestling with them, and they had positions and jobs and a good home and people that was concerned about them. They were in good state of affair. But see, they couldn't stand it. They couldn't help it. They couldn't stay away. Don't you know they would have stayed away if they could have stayed away? Oh, somebody says that, well, they could have. Well, I just don't understand it myself. You know, anybody would leave something as fine as they had and they could have stayed there. I don't see why they left it. I'm here because I had to leave what I had. I couldn't stay with it. I couldn't stay. Something had control of me that was bigger than I am. I'd like to say this just before we sing the chorus. I was praying 92 ago. Seemed like that the people, they don't want to give sometimes. The men's meeting, they hardly give very much as to what they used to give. It's just a very little. And it seemed like they're getting less and less, and they'll pledge half of what they used to give and then give maybe half of that, which is a very little. But I go on by faith because that's what we've always depended on. And God works miracle after miracle. And I was praying 2 or 3 nights ago because they've shut up their bowels of compassion, a lot of them at Bethlehem, and their only interest is themselves. But I was praying. I said, Lord, work a miracle for me. I need some help this week. And I got some bills to pay. And always, folks, there's always leeches. You know, somebody says, well, things is working out. We've got $1,000 coming in this week. And then Sister Betty, she starts marking down, said, now this goes to the leeches, and this goes to the leeches, and this goes to the leeches. She don't say that, you know. She don't say that way. But she figures out what goes to the leeches. And like she told me, I said something about bringing in $1,000, a little extra, you know, that God worked out. And when she figured up, it already took $500 of that, you know. And then when we do that, then we count up the other things that we've got to pay this one's bill and that one's bill and this one's bill. And the other just can't make it and they got a problem. You know, it's just so poor mouth all the time, they used to call it. Like a man, you know, a preacher, he sat down and he'll show you the hole in the bottom of his shoe. And he'll tell you that things is rough, you know, and he'll keep wiggling the foot around till you see the hole in the bottom of the shoe, you know. Now, I made the statement years ago, if I got to do that to preach, I'll just go on my way. Now, so, this happens, folks. This happens. And when we get through, we might have $200 or $300 if we have that much. And it's rough, because I still have to pay the bills, like the light bill, $900. And like one payment up here was $1,300, and that was to get us in line so we could pay the other two of a few hundred dollars here and a few hundred dollars there, and that was to get us in line so we could pay the bills, which is hundreds and thousands of dollars. So we have to believe. So, well, bless God, what do you do? I believe God. I pray. And a day or two ago, I was praying. I said, Lord, help me, because I need to pay these bills. It ain't but a few hundred dollars. And so here come a brother, and he said, you know what? He said, we've come up with a job to bring $1,000. I said, well, praise God. And then the brother came back, and he said, you know what? He said, we bid it on a job that we may get. And he come back and said, we got it. He said, it'll be over $2,000 if we can get somebody to do it. And then the brother said, you know, said, we bid it on another job. We may get this job. I don't know. Said, it's over $3,000. And then the brother come back and said, you know, said, there's another job that's come up, and said, this job is about $2,000. I believe it was. And then he come back and caught me before God in the church. He said, lo and behold, said, this job has turned into $5,000. Well, anyway, that's the way the Lord works. And sure enough, some of the brethren here, men like Brother Bill Cartridge, men like Brother Stan Baker, men like Brother Michael Beachy, men like Brother Gills back here, these men, with some of the others, are involved in something they're fixing to do for this weekend, and they're going to have to work some long hours, but it's going to bring in some money to help. That's how Brother Pike gets by. That's how I pay the thousands of dollars, you know, and if it isn't these men that are doing it, then from over the hill or across the waters or wherever it comes from, he always makes the way for Brother Paul. All right. I just want to say thank you and say that I really, from my heart, appreciate these efforts. The Bible said, give honor to whom honor is due. And these people are very definitely due an honor to make this effort, and sometimes a strenuous effort, like little brother Mike Beachy was going to stipple my ceiling out in the front porch. It's about ready to paint if I could get it sanded, whatever. I told somebody today I'd pay them if they would do it. But anyway, and they might do it. Mike was going to do it, and he was tired. I looked at his eyes. His eyes was red. It was probably around 9 o'clock at night. He'd been working, and he was tired. And I said, I just can't see it. I can't see it. I said, Mike, you're tired and you wore out. I just can't see that. I said, I just ain't going to let you do it. So I didn't let him in to do it. But I appreciate the ones that helped me a little. Steve's little boy was out there washing one of the trucks for me over in the evening when I was getting ready to come to church. These little folks, they're grand little fellas. They're workers. Tony told me, he was, I'm amazed, Brother Pike. He said, these little kids have such a great mind. He said, I'm amazed. In the way that they work and what they do, he was shocked at it. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He's trampling out the vintage where the grass breath or stood. Hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Can you sing it with me? Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. I never will forget, down in Centerville one day, there at the place where we had our little operation, Brother Al Gonzalez was in full strength and full blossom as to missionary endeavors. And Al come into the room there one day, and he was talking to me, and he was telling me about the thing that he had in mind, where he was fixing to go. And he was fixing to go to try to carry the gospel to some people that really needed help. And as he talked to me and as he got ready to go, I heard something just as plain. It started singing in my heart. Glory, glory, hallelujah, the truth is marching on. Okay, let's sing this. I have seen him in the watchfires of 100 circling camps. They've built him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His day is marching on. Sing with me now. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never sound retreat. He's sifting out the heart of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Sing it with me now. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea. The glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free. While God is marching on. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Sing it one more time. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. hands, close our eyes. Truthfully, it is a great privilege to come to the house of God and here at Little Bethlehem, where you have your own little homely environment, your own little church, your own little school, your own little way of life, and many people wanting to be part of it. It's such a wonderful privilege, and I want you to know the truth, and God wants you to know the truth, and I've told you the truth from my heart. I'm not shunned to declare the full counsel of God to you, as Paul said. And so then, folks, take these things, give heed to these things, incorporate these things in your life, and don't get entangled with the things of the world and the bondages of the world. You're free. You want to go to heaven. You don't want to go to hell. You can lead others out. Maybe you can help others. You can work with others. Who knows? You can tell others about this wonderful thing, and you might be the only means and hope of bringing them out of the things of ignorance that they've got caught in. So then, whatever you do, love the Lord, reverence the house of God, reverence the things of God, do what the minister asks you to do, follow him, or you'll be left by the wayside. If your spirit cannot submit to him and follow him and honor him, then that means you don't have a shepherd. And a sheep without a shepherd, the wolf is bound to get. So then, while we're standing here tonight and reverencing the Lord, I want you to think on these things. I want Brother Larry Bullard to come up and dismiss us. While Larry's coming, I want you to think on these things. I want you to ask God to help you. Ask God to lead you to do the things that's right, to love the Lord with all of your heart.